that theme song gets me so hype. What's going on, internet world? This is another edition of Draped in Gold, your one-stop shop for NXT content. My name is Lobo Boyce, and I'm on the left side. I'm taking a two-week break down under, but as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined by the award-winning MC, DJ Extraordinaire. Please give it up for not the fake Jack Farmer, the real Jack Farmer. What's up, man?
The one and only. Glad to be back after a nice little break, a nice little vacation. What a show to come back to. Roadblock had to be one of the hardest hitting episodes of NXT that we have seen in some time.
Yeah, I just love saying Roadblock every time someone mentioned it on the show this week. And it's going to be a cool one. I realized this because I'm a nerd. Every time in the United States, there's this thing called Super Tuesday, NXT counter programs with a big show. It's kind of odd, right?
Is that they're counter programming?
Yeah, remember Super Tuesday happened last time when they had that special Tuesday presentation of NXT a couple years back?
That is funny. They try to counter program.
I guess
the election. I'm sure there's a huge crossover of fans there too. The people who are watching, trying to figure out legislation, are also trying to figure out who the mystery attacker is or whatever's going on in NXT. I do want to say before we jump ahead, I know we got a lot to cover today. It's presentation is such an important thing in pro wrestling, because when Roadblock was a pay-per-view, you're like, this is so corny, whatever, I don't mm-hmm. know, but like when it's a stop on the road to stand and deliver, and it's presented like this, it feels like it makes sense, and it feels like this week did feel like a Roadblock going towards stand and deliver, and I feel like that presentation made the whole thing feel cooler.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the original Roadblocks were like a winter pay-per-view, whether it's like December or like early January. And it was kind of like, okay, it sounds like you just added on. But yeah, it definitely sounds like a cool one here with Stand and Deliver. Before we get into the show, though, gotta thank everyone is watching and streaming live on Facebook, on LinkedIn. That's right, LinkedIn. YouTube X, and Trova. Exactly. Give us a like, comment, subscribe. And if you're on listening to the audio version on Apple or Spotify or Google Play, please drop a 5-star review. That helps people discover the show. Big news, though, in the digital space there, Jack Farmer. Video games abound. 2K is out. You in?
I'm in. I haven't gotten it yet, but I'm going to. People who know me and know my video game buying habits know that I rarely ever get things on the day of
release. Why would they know?
The followers of my video game buying habits know I'm this guy. I'm the guy that's like, I'm not going to get this one. I've seen it. It's the same every year. Why get it? And then in about a week or two, I'm going to go, God, it looks so cool. I got to get it. And I'm going to get the most expensive WrestleMania 40 edition version with all the bells and whistles. I'm going to get everything. Yeah. And then I'm going to play the same versions I always play every time and don't use any of the downloadable content.
Wait, so what versions do you play? I'm curious. What's the thing you play the most?
Historically, I like My Rise and Universe is my favorite. GM mode has been pretty fun too over the past few years. GM mode. This is kind of how the process goes. Is I go My Rise, I play through the story. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Now I'm going to do Universe and sort of mix my character or downloadable characters into Universe and play with that for a little bit. And then I realize there's no end goal, so I get kind of bored. And then I go, well, I'm going to try out this GM mode. And then I putz around on GM mode for a little bit, and I slowly kind of fades off into whatever the next video game I'm going to play is.
True, 2K or having over 200 characters, especially John Cena. But John Cena seems to be busy, right? This guy is everywhere when it comes to video games. What goes up with that? New breaking news story here, Jack.
Yeah, John Cena. You know, I used to say Brock Lesnar was one of the goats of video games and athletics because he was in so many games himself, right? He was in a Madden game. He was in an MMA game. He was in UFC. He was in WWE. But now, John Cena doing the same, breaking some barriers, of course, in many WWE games, but now making his way over to Mortal Kombat as Peacemaker in Mortal Kombat 1. This one, I think, is pretty cool. I don't know if we have a lot of crossover fans of the Mortal Kombat series, but I think that John Cena will be able to bring over some of those wrestling fans. And, you know, we got a special look at the trailer drop for Peacemaker being added into the game.
You know, it's interesting, and I was very surprised about this because a lot of times when someone says, "Oh, the Peacemaker comes in," it ends up being like a fake Razor Ramon situation where there's another likeness in the game, you know. But actually, John Cena, he recorded lines for it, so I got hype. I remember the chat going, "Oh my goodness, John Cena! It's actually him."
Yeah, and getting to watch the trailer, which I believe is available everywhere now, it's crazy how Peacemaker, that character, feels like he fits right in the Mortal Kombat world as far as, you know, he's violent, he likes to kill people, likes to fight people, but also adds a little bit of fun and kind of silliness to it and campiness to it that is part of the Mortal Kombat world, kind of going overboard, which, look, Peacemaker is known for. And so John Cena being in this video game, I think it's cool. I want to play through as his character and see what his story is. I'm a big storyline fan with these games, especially Mortal Kombat, where it's got such a lore to it. To see how they're going to do a one-player version of Peacemaker in there is going to be interesting. Will Peacemaker save the realms? Who knows?
Oh, that is a sobering thought. Sorry, Liu Kang, step aside. John Cena's going to come through.
Da, 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 da.
Do, 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 do. Yeah, what's going on, Amanda? Thanks so much for joining in. MK1 is going to be on console soon. And, of course, UK24 is out now. But let's get into Roadblock, my friend. We got to start from the bottom or the end of it. Our main event was a number one contendership against Ilya Dragunov's NXT Championship. It's him, Carmelo Hayes, against Tony D'Angelo. And, well, color me shocked. And probably I'm the only one in the panel who is shocked today. Tony D'Angelo gets the dub, and he is your new number one contender. What's going on with that, Jack?
I think Tony D has been making all the right moves and all the right plays over the past few weeks. I love the fact that he reassessed where he's at and what he's doing. Of course, saw that maybe he was being a little too silly. Maybe he had taken his eyes off the prize, all that good stuff. But now it's not just, of course, getting a win in a match is huge, but getting legal representation well in advance, getting
finally.
Control. I mean, right, like he should have done this a long time ago, but it's very smart that he's done so, and it's positioned him very well, obviously taking control of the unions that run the security guards, and now he's really positioned himself not just to be a champion, but to truly be the guy that runs all of NXT, the dawn of NXT, as he says. Very well played, very smart moves, and if I was someone who was taking some of these illegal bets the family usually is a part of, I think I'd bet on Tony D to win it all.
I can imagine the audition process to be Tony D'Angelo's consigliere, and then, like, actual lawyers are being passed aside besides a lawyer with muscles. So shout out to Luca Crisafino. But look, we saw the contract signed a couple weeks ago in NXT, and Tony D'Angelo is looking at Carmelo Hayes like, don't overlook me. And I'll be honest with you, I overlooked him, not because of the talent, not because of the skill, but because it seemed like they were comfortable in tag team ranks. But now the script has been flipped. Ilya Dragunov is going to have to defend against Tony D'Angelo. This might be a whole new time, a whole era for the Don.
Well, I think that you said it best there as far as the script being flipped now. Speaking of former rivals, this is one of the reasons why I think it was so smart that the family got some legal representation to handle some of that business. I think that when you look at the history of the family, always caught up in situations with Gallus, OTM, all these other gangs that are trying to run things at NXT. Now he has some guys who can do that for him. He can delegate that task. So now he doesn't have to focus on those things. He can focus on the bigger pictures, as he's saying. And I feel like it's Tony D's time. I think that Dragunov has been beating himself up, taking a lot of damage, doing a lot of great stuff as champion. But I think it's Tony D's time. I think it's the family's time. And I think we're about to see another chapter in NXT.
Well, talk about time. It's also Trick Willie time, because the return of Trick Williams, I guess being faked out with the music, but actually showing up, knocking up Carmelo Hayes, kind of still my favorite story in all of wrestling right now. Trick Willie has redemption on his mind. Looks like poor Carmelo Hayes just can't catch a break.
Well, Carmelo Hayes, I've said from the beginning, telling us the truth, telling us how it is, being honest with us. Sometimes we don't like to hear it. Sometimes we don't like to hear what the truth is, but Carmelo Hayes said it. Trick Williams is trying to jump him in the line, trying to take his spot. And we saw it actually happen here at Roadblock. Carmelo Hayes, an opportunity to be the next contender for the NXT championship. And Trick Williams just couldn't let the number one guy in NXT have that shot. Had to try to jump in front of him, had to get involved, had to cost him this match. And I think that Carmelo Hayes again proves himself as being correct here, that Trick Williams is jealous and just can't stand the fact that he was always number two to Carmelo Hayes.
Oh, he got like chop blocked. What do you mean jealous? Ooh, you're jealous. That's terrible. He was assaulted.
I mean, Carmelo Hayes tried to give him an opportunity, tried to let Trick Williams come up on his own. It didn't work out, and that's fine. There can only be one number one. Carmelo
okay.
Hayes clearly is the number one, and now this jealous and bitter Trick Williams can't stand it, and it's a little frustrating that now we're not going to see what would have been a classic in Dragunov versus Carmelo Hayes because of a bitter Trick Williams.
I don't think Trick Williams is backstage going, yeah, I'm jealous, dog. I can't stand it. I mean, he got attacked. He had to get his revenge, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I'll admit he probably said it more entertaining than that, but he definitely said
I'm not a writer. I'm sorry. I'm more better than Yak and Heat, and that is a deep Simpsons cut reference. Elsewhere, NXT land, let's talk about this way the show started off with an asylum match, which I was going to sit there all jaded and be like, what's the difference between an asylum match and a cage match? Well, we found out. Dijak, Joe Gacy, that still weird upside down intro thing gets me such vertigo, had a classic at 8:05 p.m. Dijak gets the win, but it seemed to me like it was a war of attrition, huh?
This was, I mean, I started the show by saying Roadblock was one of the hardest hitting events that NXT has done, at least in a very long time. And this one is what really set the stage for that. What a matchup. I mean, we did not deserve this for free on a Tuesday. What a
I did. I don't know about you guys, but
I mean, I'm taking a couple weeks off to go sunbathe in Australia.
Oh,
I
yeah,
deserve
man.
This.
Well, not sunbathe. I got assaulted by the sun. I came back like, I didn't know I can get sunburnt. Dang you, Perth.
Now you know how difficult it is.
I'm so sorry for my friends and colleagues.
Jack, why do you wear long sleeves at the beach sometimes? I don't have a choice, man.
Yo, Perth put me in a headlock, bro. It was hot, man.
this matchup, though, man, just incredible. Dijak showing that I don't think there's really anyone who can dish out offense quite the way he can. I mean, a man of his size doing a moonsault off the top of a cage, the way he threw around a guy the size of Joe Gacy. But also, Joe Gacy, look, we always hear people say stuff like I'll do anything to win this match. I'll go through anything. I'll put up with anything. And we usually were like, oh, yeah, you're a tough guy. You'll take a bit of a beating or whatever, and you say you're going to keep ticking. Joe Gacy didn't just go through a beating, man. I mean, he got his arms wrapped up in a straitjacket. It was like, nope, not enough. He had his eyes covered. He was blindfolded with his arms tied up. And was like, no, I'm still going to keep fighting. This is what I do. Joe Gacy absolutely, I think, showed just how he might be in that upper echelon of tough guys that has made some very big waves in the past. I think this was a coming out party in a lot of ways for Joe Gacy, even though he lost. But that said, Dijak, we got to get him in the title picture. We got to get him fighting for some championships. I know he's struggled in that world before, but I think he proved he deserves another shot at that. Just an incredible match from both these two.
I got a question about Dijak, but I saw something on Twitter. I wish I wrote it down or wrote the username down that says that Joe Gacy is a modern day Tommy Dreamer. Agree or disagree?
Disagree. I mean, I get it. I get why they're saying it. I feel like it's sometimes easy to just compare two people because of one similarity. You know, I think the
violence.
Fact that yeah, they're violent. He's a lovable, violent guy who won't give up. I mean, I feel like you could say, oh, he's like a modern day Mick Foley. He's like a modern day Tommy Dreamer. He's like, I mean, yeah, there are shades of it. I think Joe Gacy is a lot more than that, though. Just like I think he's more than someone who's similar to Kevin Owens, just because they've got like they had similar facial hair and haircut for a while. You know what I mean? I think he's definitely something different than a Tommy Dreamer, but I appreciate the comparison.
So you're saying Dijak should be in the title picture, and I actually am inclined to agree, but if we were to make wins and losses part of the total package, has been pretty spotty for Dijak in the past. We saw backstage this week that he had an interaction with a rising and emerging Josh Briggs. It looks like it's going to be a detour for now. So, and I got to say this, would you argue that whoever wins this conflict, were there to be one, should be instantly inserted in the title picture? If you're Josh Briggs, you beat Dijak, should you be in the title picture then?
Yes, I think you should get a title shot. You're right. I think these two are going to go at it. I think it's going to be a very hard-hitting matchup. Something I love about Dijak, by the way, he doesn't take easy routes. You know, he doesn't get in fights with guys who aren't going to be just hard-hitting, bloody battles every time he's in there. So Josh Briggs, no different. A guy who's shown that he's big and he's tough and he's going to bludgeon people. This is going to be a hard-hitting matchup. I want the winner to get a title shot, but here's the thing. I don't want him to get an NXT title shot. I want him to get a North American title shot, which to means that I want to see Obafemi against one of these two, because both these guys are going to be a bit harder to throw around for Obafemi, and they might be the first guys to really bring the pain to the champion. That's the matchup I want to see. Dijak and or Josh Briggs versus Obafemi down the road.
I have already purchased my white lilies for Brooks Jensen next week as he challenges Obafemi. And I go, what are you doing? That is a ticket to the end. But yes, Obafemi is almost more intimidating than Ilya Dragunov, which is unheard of to say that on the same show, same brand. You have Obafemi and Ilya Dragunov as champions.
Oh, yeah. Brooks Jensen, I've got a little boat. I'm going to push out into the water and set ablaze in his memory after his
match. I was like, oh, you do live off the coast. I'm like, wow, where is this boat going to go?
Right.
I live on Venice Boulevard. It's like,
the problem is I'm going to push it out and the waves are going to push it right back in. And it's going to cause a big problem.
They know better.
But yeah, Brooks Jensen, buddy, like, I get it. Yeah. There's other ways to show you have balls, pal. I mean, don't kill yourself. Like,
oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, start small, you know,
change a tire. That's what I would do.
Yeah. I would go on YouTube or TikTok, learn how to change a tire, and then I would change a tire. And then I would take it to a Jiffy Lube to have
them have it verified. We actually had two tag team title matches this week, but I want to talk about this match on the other side of it, on the women's division. Fallon Henley and Blair Davenport had a matchup with Fallon Henley getting the win, but we saw a returning Sol Ruka. Now, talked about the match for sure, but the NXT women's division, to lack of a better phrase, is pretty crowded. I mean, this is the only promotion in North American television that has an equal number of women's matches than men's matches in a certain show. Can Sol Ruka slot herself back into the mix after being out for so long?
I mean, on a regular basis, you're right, too. Like, it's 50-50 in that regard. And it's really cool to see because you don't even really think about it, by the way, when you're seeing this like 50-50. It's just like, oh, this is the best stuff that they could put on TV right now, which is always cool to see. You know, there's an agenda in NXT, and it does bother me, though. And you saw it on full display here. Sol Ruka came back and cheated. She absolutely...
She didn't cheat at all. She wasn't the matchup.
She got involved. She attacked, and she clearly is yet another person who has been swayed by the way of the ranchers and now just can't have a fair shot. And you'll notice Vic Joseph, like, yay, Sol Ruka's back. Where's that energy, Vic? When you see other people get involved in matches.
Oh, okay.
I think Vic Joseph clearly is getting paid by Big Ranch, and now he's Ranch. Compromised.
Broken skull? Like, what ranch are you talking about? Listen. Sol Ruka got attacked by Blair Davenport. Again, it's getting her comeuppance, or the receipt, as the people say in the business, which I'm not a part of. It's about her getting her revenge.
Well, then she needs to schedule a matchup. I mean, that's how we've got a We've got a GM. Ava's there. Scheduling matchups all the live long day. All you got to do is make a phone call. But jumping out from what used to be the beach, now clearly the ranch. Could you imagine how gross the beaches are near a ranch? Ew, I wouldn't swim in that water.
You've never been to Palos Verdes? It's pretty nice. Soul, right down the street.
Those aren't real ranches.
It's called Rancho. Okay.
Anything called Rancho is not.
It's like when you go to the vegetarian island, it's like chicken or like
beef. Yeah. Yes. This is very a niche that I'm sure no one gets.
So Cal Huber, we do it for ourselves. We pop ourselves.
Yes. So is it cool that she's back? No, she aligned with the rancher. I'm not happy she's back.
I hear you. The matchup, though, had Blair Davenport taking another loss. And this brings us to this week. This brings us to this week's General Manager Pick'em. General Manager Pick'ems, we're going to ask Jack Farmer as if he is the NXT General Manager, what he would do in certain situations. Charlotte Dillon Matthews. This one is a little bit different. Blair Davenport knocks into your office. Whoopi bam! And she tells you, look, Jack Farmer, I'm not happy here. I'm going to walk to Monday Night Raw. The only way you can keep me around is if you give me a raise of 25%. Do you do that? Or you tell Blair Davenport, peace.
Ooh, this is a good one because I do think that Blair Davenport's worth the raise. I think that she's valuable at that raise, but sometimes when you're a GM, you can't think about that. You got to think about how it impacts the overall team. You know, there's a lot of times in football, you got salary caps and you got great players let go because you just can't afford them. Blair Davenport is absolutely worth that raise, but we just talked about how stacked the division is already and how many people are trying to find a place there and Sol Ruka returning. And I think there's going to be more returns down the road. I just feel like I've got too many resources right now to commit more money. And I think that Blair Davenport, frankly, would be great on Raw or SmackDown. So I think it'd kind of be a win-win-win. What I'd really try to do is position a trade of some kind with one of the other brands. But for now, I think that I've just got, if I'm in NXT, I got too many resources. I'm not going to let a talent demand a raise. Otherwise, everyone else will too.
Oof, did Jack Farmer get it right? Let him know at Real Jack Farmer on that X and all social media, by the way. Wrong, you Blair Davenport's Davenport. She terrorizes the parking lot, keeps everyone in line. You keep her around. You pay her double to release the parking lot.
I sure hope this show's over before it gets dark outside. I don't want to walk to my car.
Like, I'll face you when
Blair Davenport's lurking.
We had two tag team titles on the line, and this one here we're talking about now is from the women's division. Talk about a stacked division. The Kabuki Warriors make a trip down the Tuesday night to take on the team of Tatum Paxley and the NXT Women's Champion Lyra Valkyria. And, well, you and I were talking about this before we went live. The relationship between Tatum Paxley and Lyra is kind of complex. Are they enemies? Are they frenemies? Are they a team? Are they not? Maybe. Could they coexist? And the answer, unfortunately, was no. Kabuki Warriors retain.
Well, this is where I think the conviction of Lyra Valkyria is starting to cost these two. Personally, I like where Tatum Paxley's head is at. I think she's got she's focused. She's zeroed in. She's looking at being a team that can go the distance. You'll notice Lyra Valkyria, though, constantly stepping it back a little bit, not really committing to the team. When you want to be a champion, Flobo, you can't be someone who only halfway goes there. You can't be like, I'm going to try out this thing and see if it works out. If you want to be a champion and you want to face a team like the Kabuki Warriors, by the way, Asuka never lost a match in NXT history. You got to be fully committed. So when you go into that match, you can't be like, well, you know, just so you know, we might not win. And hey, this doesn't mean we're a team forever. You can't have that attitude. Lyra Valkyria, I blame it completely on her. Tatum Paxley, I think, was zeroed in, zoned in, ready to get the win. And I think if Lyra Valkyria brought that level of commitment, maybe we'd have new tag team champions.
I know that's crap, and here's the reason why. You know, you're so famous, Jack Farmer. Everyone always hits you up and says, we should probably collab. We should work together. And you're always like, okay, I guess so. You don't go, heck yeah, we do. There's some reservation there. We don't really know what Tatum Paxley's motivations are. She's a champ, Lyra Valkyria is. Head has to be on the swivel. The actual connection wasn't the most genuine of connections. You have to have some reservations there.
I've never claimed to be a team with anybody. So,
all right, the lone wolf, Jeff. Burn your ships.
I am burning my ships.
Well, you can't knock them, though. I mean, they tried.
I thought it was a great effort. And like I said, I think they could have won. I just think that Lyra Valkyria, she's doing this thing you see in politics. We talked about Super Tuesday, where you're my friend. We're partners. We're pals. Let's work together. Let's help each other out. Oh, you need a commitment from me? Well, I don't know.
I don't know if we're really that connected.
I don't know if we're really that good of friends, you know. But, oh, you want to help me? Yeah, let's be partners in this. Let's work together. We're great. Lyra Valkyria is trying to play on both sides, trying to get all the benefits of having Tatum Paxley at her side without any of the commitments to having Tatum Paxley at her side. I think Tatum Paxley deserves better.
So you're saying Lyra's the bad person here?
I think that Lyra Valkyria is being selfish, and I think that she's not fully committing to someone who clearly is worth committing to.
Shout out to Amanda Russ, who says, I agree with Lobo. Sorry, Jack. Which should be minted. I want to have that printed out and put all of my rooms pointed to the side.
Black, but right yeah. above our video award.
Yeah. Our video award. There it is. 2001 video award. Shout out to them. But so you have this world where we had the two women's tag team titles and they were merged, and now it looks like they're doing the single division. Now, I know on Raw and SmackDown it makes sense for them to have one title to go on different shows, but is it time for another run of the NXT women's tag team titles?
Yes. Yeah, I think they've got plenty of tag teams. They've got plenty of people on the roster. I think that could be the theme of this event, is that you've got a very stacked women's division in NXT that has a lot of people that need to find a way to get on TV, need to find a way to get in championship contention. You know, I'm very slow to want to bring in championships. I'm not someone who, I'm not one of these people that's like, add a new championship every day. Yeah. I don't like it when they do, but this is a case where, one, I think it's helpful to NXT because it helps them give more talent, more opportunities to have championships. But also, as they do go to SmackDown and Raw, it gives more teams for that division, which is always in need of more teams. So I think it helps build teams for the future. It helps give more people a chance to be on TV. I absolutely think that if I am in the championship committee at WWE, that is priority number one.
Okay, that's a cool image. It's like, it's not really a committee, it's like a broom closet and it's just you in there.
It's just me and William Regal doing the thing with the footballs where I have like a little
Yeah, that's a good idea, mate. Killer Demon 669 says, I'm not feeling Lyra's title reign. I think Roxanne will beat her. Now, whether or not you like her title reign, it's up to you personally. I'm agreeing with you, but I do not agree Roxanne Perez is going to beat Lyra Valkyria. Jack, what say you?
I really liked what we saw from Roxanne Perez here, and I've been hard on Roxanne Perez.
Yeah, you have.
But this was a really This has been a great side of her. I like that she's – a lot of times wrestlers will complain, and they'll cry, and they'll whine, and they'll be upset about something. What Roxanne Perez did is she actually evaluated her situation, and she said, look, if I want this opportunity, I got to go out there and take it. And she did that, and I think that was – a very mature step in the right direction for Roxanne Perez. I hope I see more of that. My only critique is, if she really injured Lyra Valkyria's arm the way it looked like she might have, then Lyra Valkyria is not going to be able to defend the title. And if Lyra Valkyria can't defend the title, then Roxanne Perez did herself no favor. So hopefully Lyra Valkyria is still healthy and able to compete so Roxanne Perez can get the championship that she wants so badly.
You don't think it's a psychological game? Because Roxanne Perez could have like used a chair to definitely break Lyra's arm, but I think it was kind of a thing of, I'm going to injure just enough that she feels she has to defend it even though she's injured, and then somehow subdue her, which I would think would be the logic. But frankly, I don't think Roxanne has the stones to do that full on to become the next NXT Women's Champion. I don't see it.
She stomped on her arm over the rope and bent it the other direction. I mean, what do you mean? Like taking it further? I mean, this is exactly what she was trying to do. What more do you want?
It's roadblock, baby. I want it all.
It's roadblock.
I don't know what that means.
This is for history. Come on.
I like the matchup. I think they work well together, but I really got a feeling that Larry's going to dig deep in a way that Becky Lynch and John Cena done it before. This is the way I see it.
I think when it comes down to it, Lyra Valkyria is a incredible champion and an incredible talent. And I think that she's going to hold that title a lot longer than we think. Everyone can have their own opinions of the championship reign, but I think that Valkyria has really navigated some tricky waters when it comes to both her contenders, you know, when we look at like a Becky Lynch, but also on the personal side of things with Tatum Paxley. I think that she's doing Tatum Paxley dirty, but I mean, she's been able to use that to her advantage. So Ladder of Valkyria, you got to give it to her. I think she's being a great champion.
Wow. I have a question for you. We saw the appearance of the former Ty Dillinger. Sean Spears is back holding a chair and giving you scripture while he's doing it. But I don't know, Jack. Can Sean Spears coexist on a show that also has Alexis King?
Yeah, why not?
Here's why. I think both guys are kind of slimy. Both guys have alternate agendas. Both guys could be at 8:05 or 9:55. Those both guys are just kind of like, hey, if you want to do well, you have to go through me. But it seems like that's one too many.
Well, I think Sean Spears, again, impressive debut tonight, impressive return. I think he's going to be a problem for anyone of note in NXT. So I think that's incredible. I think Ridge Holland needs to be worried, though.
Ridge needs to be worried. Why?
Well, one, Sean Spears is playing him like a fiddle, proving himself right with the way that he's getting violent so quickly. But also, the fans seem to enjoy Sean Spears getting under Ridge Holland's skin. I don't know if you noticed that. The fans, I think they're excited about Sean Spears too. And a diabolical person like Sean Spears with the crowd behind him, that's a 10 out of 10.
If I'm Ridge Holland right now, I'll have a lot. I just got that. I'm sorry. I hate dad jokes, and wrestling dad jokes are the worst. If I'm Ridge Holland, I'm a little concerned. You know, you have this situation. You go to NXT and you go through Gallus, and the crowd was cheering for Gallus. You're being manipulated by Sean Spears, and everyone's rooting for the manipulator. It's like, what do you have to do, man? I came back here to find myself and to curry favor and hope the fans and the people there at the CWC know how good of a person I am, but they're trying to, like, more into the other person, you know?
Yeah, if I'm Rich Holland, I would say it's time to listen to Sean Spears. Sean Spears has been around for a while. Sean Spears knows what he's talking about. I think embrace that dark side. Be the angry person. Be the person that wants to do a lot of damage. That's what makes you special. Use that. Use that to start just beating the brakes off of people. You look at the people who have been the most successful in WWE over the past few years. You look at Roman Reigns. You think he's worried about hurting feelings and damaging people? No. You look at Seth Rollins' biggest moment was when he cashed in at WrestleMania, you know, heist of the century. Do you think he was like, well, you know, me and Roman Reigns used to be pals. I'd hate to hurt his feelings. No, you gotta, it's ruthless aggression, baby. Just because it started 20 years ago doesn't mean that that's gone. That's the way of the world. I think that we need to see that ruthless aggression from Ridge Holland, and that's what he needs to be embracing, not trying to step away from it.
I'm inclined to agree, but I like how, like, we stop naming these eras. I don't know where things start or stop. Reality era, now era, a pipe bomb era. But Ruthless Aggression is actually one of my favorites. I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Hopefully Ridge gets a little bit more mean. But speaking of mean, something that really makes me roll with my eyes is that we have a new Heritage Cup champion. But that's not what makes me go, ugh. It's the fact that no quarter catch crew walks all the way to the ring and says, well, there's a new catch rule that allows anyone to defend the Heritage Cup, which defeats the point of heritage, until the man, William Regal, shows up and says, you know what? I think you are besmirching that cup. Talk to me, Jack.
Well, I agree with you there. That's a rarity. I think that when you have four people as champion, you don't have a champion. Especially in a division like the Heritage Championship, where right now there's not really a set division, so you don't really know who's in that division. And when you're in a division where you're trying to figure out how deep that division is, and you've got more people who are champion than people who are known to be in the division, you've got a problem. So I don't like that they're letting all four of them defend this championship. Forget about the fact that it's supposed to, you know, everything it represents, even just in general. If you have a division that you don't know who's in it, and you got four people claiming to be champion, you got a problem there. Especially with the rules of stuff like the Heritage Cup. So I'm not a fan of that. I'm glad that William Regal came out Mr. Regal, I should say. That was as his name was printed.
Hey, his video still says William on it. I don't know. Conflict.
Can we just say, by the way, some of the just the best music in the game. That is like some of the most diabolical music you're ever going to hear in all of pro wrestling.
It's grown on me. Sorry, like, Samoa Joe, but it's grown on me. Yeah. Because when it first came out, I was like, this is terrible. Now I was like, oh, dude, you know.
It sounds like Darth Vader. Like, that be his entrance music if he didn't already have music that he comes
out. The Imperial March. Yeah.
Clearly, I want to see that. I want to see Regal versus Dempsey. That seems to be something that's brewing in the future. But I'm not a fan of this. I, at the very least, I want to see who's going to be the people who take that championship and take it to the next level. Because I don't like all four guys being the champion.
Explain this to me, though, about the Regal situation. Because Shawn Michaels was kind of the de facto general manager. And when Ava was appointed, he kind of disappeared and went to the background for the occasional promo. William Regal gave Ava the thumbs up and said, you're the general manager now. But he comes out now and says, hey, look, I'm going to be watching you. So what is his job? What is his role? What would you do if you're Mr. Regal? What would you apply so you can keep your eye on the cup?
It's my understanding that he's just retired and he's hanging out and likes to watch these great matches. A lot of times great wrestlers go and hang out backstage. I think that's what he's doing. He doesn't have to have a job.
Yes, because you won't be able to go inside the building without a job. You just
When you know people, you know, okay. And I'm sure Ava likes to bend the ear of old William Regal and get some of his attention, you know, some of his advice and his feedback. And, he was one of the greatest general managers of all time. So it's great that he's there to help guide her.
Oh, that's also true. And I'm not really sure what Regal versus Dempsey is going to be, but I'm willing to let back and see how that evolves. But on the other side of things, the former Heritage Cup champion, Noam Dar, was going through something, but he instantly got over it. What's up with that, Jack? Talk to your boy.
What a feel-good story, right? I mean,
no!
All these dark side of the rings that are out talking about these horrible situations that happen in pro wrestling. Why don't we have any that talk about the good stuff, like Noam Dar overcoming what really was one of the lowest points a wrestler like him could go through and being able to bounce back. And now Metaphor is back to their great ways. And I think that this is going to be a new chapter for Metaphor and it's going to be better than ever. I think that Noam Dar probably finds himself in NXT, maybe Universal Championship contention very soon.
I feel bad because we had like 6 months of Von Wagner redemption and Noam Dar just puts on a smile and like, what a comeback story. That should be an Emmy award winning film. Like, what's going on?
Well, yeah. Like, cause what did Von Wagner go through? That was such a big deal. Look at what Noam Dar had
got smashed in. He couldn't walk. What are you talking about?
Not being able to walk, head smashed in versus losing the Heritage Cup. I mean, Flobo, it's not even apples to oranges. It's like apples to pine cones here. Like you can't even compare the two. What Noam Dar lost is greater than just about any loss any wrestler has ever had to overcome. And the fact that he was able to bounce back, I don't know if it's for himself or for his team, I think is something that we should really use as an inspiration ourselves. In fact, I think I'm going to write a note about it on a sticky note and put it in my bathroom mirror. So every morning I wake up and remind myself that no matter how hard it is, I can always overcome.
Absolutely abysmal. I don't know why you even do that because sticky notes are not efficient ways of keeping notes. But moving on, backstage, we finally got some breakthrough. Gigi Dolin gets to have her opportunity at Ariana Grace thanks to Ava's approval. But there's a caveat. There is a condition that if Ariana Grace wins the match, there's going to be an inner beauty situation on the line that she's going to help mold her into the woman that she could be. What do you make of this one?
I think that now more than ever, Ariana Grace needs to get a win here. I think that Ariana Grace, we talk about how great Noam Dar was and how selfless he was.
We did not both agree.
And
nope.
I think that the only one that can really compare to that is Ariana Grace and how she's willing to lower herself to Gigi Dolin's level and willing to get her hands dirty so that she can bring Gigi Dolin under her wing. And
stop! She's a wrestler! She's supposed to wrestle! Gigi was right!
Emotionally, mentally and spiritually. And I think that after getting to apprentice with Ariana Grace for a while, Gigi Dolan could really turn herself into something that other kids could look up to someday, and not the person she is today.
I gotta be honest with you. I think Gigi was right. How can you go to your boss and go, "I don't feel like fighting someone," when your job is to have combat? The fact that this is a caveat or a condition is unheard of and absurd. Ariana Grace should be fined or should be forced to compete on NXT.
Technically, there's nothing about being a superstar that says you have to fight.
Yes, she signed a contract to NXT as a fighter. So, yes.
No, as a superstar. There's a difference.
Maybe you're right. I rescind my question.
But you got to give her credit, though. She's saying she had her moral compass, and she decided to say, "Look, even though I disagree with this, I'll do whatever it takes to help a wayward soul in Gigi Dolan."
Speaking of wayward souls, our other tag team title match was on the docket last night at Roadblock. It was the Wolf Dogs defending against Chase U. And, well, Bron Breakker does what he does best, and that's spearing people out of their boots. Wolf Dogs retain. Chase U is going through it once again, and Thea Hell can't even stomach to see the result. Jack Farmer, Wolf Dogs, they're here to stay, it seems. They're the real deal. And Chase U always seems to be in shambles. What gives?
Well, the Wolf Dogs, for one, they're overpowered. I mean, they're keeping those styles for a very long time. I mean, I think we might even have a situation where they just graduate those titles to the main roster because they both get moved to SmackDown and they're just not letting go of those titles. Fair. Who's beating this team? I can't think of anyone who's beating this team. In fact, I think if you put them up against Judgment Day today, that the Wolf Dogs might be the favorites in that case. I don't think anyone has the ability to beat this team. I think they're great in all categories, especially in those new wolf masks. You know, I'm picking one up at WrestleMania. That's going to be a fun one to see live in
Philly. You never buy merch. Don't lie to people.
Oh, I am going to get me a wolf mask. But those guys are unbeatable. As far as Chase U goes, JC Jane's right about him. They're linked in, you know?
Wow. Wow, we not the actual LinkedIn. I mean, we love those guys.
Oh, I thought that's what DL meant.
I wanted to say we love you, LinkedIn. People leave me alone.
No, it's look, they're losers. They lost without JC Jane. I mean, JC Jane's got to do everything for them. She's saving the school. She's bringing more students in. She's their recruiting office. She's their finance department. Well, she's doing everything, Flobo. She's absolutely correct. Without them, they're nothing. They're losers. JC Jane should be the one running the school. She should be the principal or whatever, the superintendent. Right. She should be all this stuff. But she's treated like some outcast fringe member of the school still. I think JC Jane's got a very good point.
I don't believe this is to a JC Jane tirade, but it's just like Chase U always seems to be popular, but can never get the job done. Thea Hell had a night, to say the least, after spurning Riley Osborne and leaving the match last night, got into a shouting match with Kiana James and Izzy Dames. Thea Hell, loose cannon?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, she's out here volunteering JC Jane to be tag team partner without double checking with her first. Like, I don't know why Thea Hale is acting so hurt over the fact that, yeah, JC Jane's busy. She's popular. She's cool. She's got stuff to do besides running Chase U, by the way. She's got a job. She's got school. And she's got a personal life. She's really a woman who can do it all. Thea Hale now being like, "What? All I do is go on dates with boys. Why can't you hang out and help me with my personal problem?"
That is not what she said. "All I do is go on dates with boys." What a life, you know?
You know, I thought it was a bit presumptive of Thea Hale.
All right. Who could stop the Wolf Dogs, man? You say they're overpowered. Chase, you clearly shows her outclassed and outmatched last night. So I don't want to see a rematch necessarily. But who do you think would be next up?
It's tough. I don't know of anyone in that division right off the top of my head that could possibly do it. Possibly. I mean, if we were able to get a Dijak Joe Gacy tag team, but even then, I just don't know. I feel like, Hey, thank you for the shout out. Jack Farmer, hero. Appreciate you.
I mean, really? Like, a hero of what? Can you elaborate, sir or ma'am?
Well, I would say cool and explosive based on the emojis.
Yeah, Jack Farmer, cool hero. That's fake news, but you were saying.
Speaking of cool heroes, I think that the Wolf Dogs are, I don't think there's anyone on this roster that can match them. And I know that the OC has shown up, and I think that they're probably the most well-equipped too. But even then, there's just too much explosiveness, too much power, too much experience in the Wolf Dogs. These guys give them a chance for a long time.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Jack Farmer hates OTM. Totally forgot about them as a tag team and challenger. Don't think they're equipped to do it. So if you're listening, Scripps, you can hit him up at Real Jack Farmer.
They lost multiple matches to the family.
I'm just putting it out there. You just totally ignored your whole team. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, well, if you can't get past the family, who could not get past the Wolf Dogs,
I just want Jada Parker to beat you up, okay?
If Jada Parker challenged for the tag team titles, I would say Wolf Dogs are in trouble.
I'm trying to get you beat up, all right? That's cool. I can't believe that was Roadblock, man. I felt like a pay-per-view just locked into 2 hours of television. Now it's time for that part of the segment where we kind of ask ourselves who was.
Now, time for my favorite segment of the show. It's the MVP of NXT.
Yeah, who stuck out for you, Jack? Who is the number one on your little docket note card list?
I think the person that I pick is probably the one we both picked. I think that it's pretty unfair to pick anyone else, and that's Noam Dar.
What?
Noam Dar's ability to get past this incredible loss he suffered, the fact that he was able to come back for himself and for his team, see a light at the end of the tunnel. And look, you scoffed earlier, but
I did scoff. I scoffed pretty hard.
Universal Championship in the future. I mean, who else fits the bill more than a guy who is live from the moon for the Universal Championship? Supernova 11. There's no one more universal than Supernova 11, Noam Dar. I think that he is going to be one of these guys who bounces back better than ever. And the fact that he overcame what he did is just, it's an inspirational story.
On a night that Tony D'Angelo qualifies for the NXT Championship, a night that Trick Willie returns, a night the women's division is on full display, and we see ranchers have time in a spotlight, you say Noam Dar, a man that was backstage frowning and then smiling, is your MVP this week.
Well, I thought Dijak had a really great night too, but I'm certainly not giving an award to a guy whose name is Dijak.
He's MVP now because I'm with that. Dijak. It stands for the Jack the. I liked it. I think Dijak would have been my choice, the right choice, because he had all the expectations of not winning that matchup and did. I think he's my MVP this week.
Mm. Oh, fair enough.
Killer Demon 669, Noam Dar Catatonic is epic. Which, if you didn't watch wrestling, you'd be like, what the hell are you just saying? But this is why I love it so much. Yeah, we're back, man. Draped in Gold is episode 138. Didn't think we'd have this so many times. It's a pandemic show, and it's grown by leaps and bounds. And so glad to be in the booth with you, Jack. But I got to ask you, if someone wanted to connect with you, follow you, even book you, how'd they go about doing that?
Yeah, you can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You can also check me out doing commentary for Santino Bros Last Man Standing on March 16th. I'm going to be there, and that's going to be a big one. Also, I'm going to be heading out to Philadelphia for WrestleMania. I'm doing some commentary there for GCW's The Collective line of shows there. Got to be on a couple of shows, so that'll be exciting. If you're in Philadelphia, hit me up. I'd love to chat with you. I think that'd be a fun time.
Have you been to Philadelphia before?
Nope. No idea what to expect.
I got there by accident one time. I made a wrong turn up the Jersey Turnpike.
At Albuquerque?
I made a wrong turn at Albuquerque. Yeah, totally the Bugs Bunny tunneling around. I have actually been. I don't think I'll be there this year for WrestleMania. Unfortunately, I know people were asking about it, but that's kind of unfortunate. Some Ganda Chonko says, just get out of here real quick before we wrap this up. Just catching up. don't think you intro Braun with Corbin because Corbin still has that Vince booking stain, unfortunately. If you mean ruthless aggression, then we all have that stain, brother. No, I think that when it comes down to booking and all that, you have to go with the best talent regardless of situations on and off the screen. But this is Draped in Gold, drapedingold.com. Learn more about the show and please follow us on that social media. Please follow Real Jack Farmer. You can follow me on that X at Flow Boat Boys. We'll be back here next Wednesday.
Can I interject, by the way? I forgot to say. We got merch for sale, by the way. I don't know if anyone has seen or heard, but make sure to check out our merch site where you can get some cool shirts and things like that so you can represent the brand wherever you live, whether it's in Philadelphia or Perth or in Rancho Palos Verdes.
Yeah, Perth. You know, that sun, I swear to goodness. Draped in Gold, tinyurl.com/drapedingold. We have some offerings out there, too, designs, especially the American announce table, which is definitely a deep cut at this point, which means the world to us. All right, yes. So we're going to get out of here. But again, like I always say, until next time, Jack Farmer, say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.